Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel. I'm joined by Damon McDonald. It is Tuesday, the 3rd of June, 2025. This is episode 364. Damon, Liam asks, who has the best thighs in New Japan?
Hello. Who has the best thighs?
The best thighs, yeah.
That's the question? All right. Well, that would be, obviously, oh, I never really thought about it. When you say best, do you mean most well-defined?
So just the thighs that you like the best. Someone on Discord has suggested Clark Connors. He's got very nice thighs.
He's got that squattiness. Yeah, he's got that. He's done some squats in his day, some Hindu squats. Yeah, I would go there. What about Big Tom?
Big Tom, yeah.
He's got some powerful thighs. And I'll give you one more.
Do you think there's any wrestler who could kill a man with their thighs, like Xenia on the top in the James Bond film GoldenEye?
Good question. Yes.
Hartley Jackson, I think, could do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a simple like leg lock slash cross face kind of thing, you know, you just got somebody's head between your legs and you're just cutting off circulation. Yeah, I think.
No, not that. Just, I mean, like, so I'm putting my head between Hartley Jackson's thighs. Hot. And he is just like squeezing his thighs together as hard as he can, just like pure pressure. No kind of like choke cold or anything like that. Just like pure pressure trying to, can he shatter my skull? With
skull
power, the crushing power of his thighs.
No, I will go with no. Unless you have a baby's head, you are made of Play-Doh. No, but
could
I'm
he
sure
could he break my neck with that with his thighs?
How about this? I'll give you a maybe. I'm not really up on my biology. Could he do maybe? If he hit it, he could probably break your jaw. Like if your jaw line, he could break that.
What's happening?
Do some ear damage, maybe some pop an eardrum or something.
Yeah, maybe. Like make my eyes bleed. You'd be like,
you know,
could do some serious damage, I reckon.
Yep, and if he farts, all bets are off. You might you might never move again. We're silly.
Another question. Daryl says, just booked my trip for January. Where's the best area to stay in Tokyo?
Well,
we're just doing a mailbag today. I don't want to talk about Best of the Super Juniors.
That's fine. You got it. I would give you a solid depends, and you tell me if I'm off base here, Joel. Is it your first time, or have you been there a few times? Because if it's
That's
your
a
first
really good
time,
question. Daryl's yep. not specified that.
Yep. So if it's your first time, I would say it's probably best to be in the central hub of things, you know, like a Shibuya or maybe even like Yoyogi area, I don't want to say Suitabashi because that's like where all the wrestling is. Like if you go to wrestling a lot, then yeah. But again, your first time, you shouldn't be going to just all wrestling. I think anyway. Shinjuku, like I would say, like a major area, just because you want to be close to a major hub, major train station. Two, it's your first time, so you are going to want to see a lot of the more touristy areas. I'll put in air quotes. And there's nothing wrong with that. Your first time, nothing wrong with that. But if you've been here a few times, See, I think I stayed
in Akasaka, and I remember really liking it there. It's got like good transport links. It's quite a trendy little neighborhood, and lots of nice bars and cafes.
Yep, I would say that's a good spot. In and around Tokyo Station is really nice, like the Ginza area. Mm-hmm. If you got a couple bucks that you have, like you're not going to stay in a fucking hostel there.
Christ, I stayed in a hostel.
Did you
it was
really?
Awful. Yeah.
Oh, I can't imagine. How many people are
that
in
was the first
room?
Time? Yeah, yeah, like hundreds. It was the worst. And so from that point on, we just did business hotels.
Yeah, I mean, it just to have your own space. I couldn't imagine. I wouldn't last very long at all.
Trying to have a wank in a hostel, impossible. I just
can't everybody else is. Why not? You know what I mean? I would think there would be 100 guys jerking off at the same time.
I had to close the curtains to my bed at the end. This was just having people walking in and out. It's like Piccadilly Circus. It's so distracting. Oh,
yeah, I that would bother me so much. And again, now it's not like you're all on the same sleep schedule. You know, it's not like, okay, lights out.
That's it. Really, there's fuckers like getting up and all hours of the night because people have got various trains and flights, whatever, to catch. So
right.
There's a constant sound of people packing and suitcases being dragged along the floor. It was horrendous. Oh.
And the smells? How are the smells?
I don't remember the smells being that bad, actually.
Okay. All right. I would picture it just being very musky. Was it a mixed?
Yeah.
Okay. So there were males and females. Okay. I don't think I would like that at all. I would not like that at all. What was the bathroom situation?
There are a few small sort of communal bathroom stalls that you can use. God.
Oh,
just little cubicles.
Oh, I would just jump out a window. I couldn't do it.
It's like a bit like sort of university accommodation.
Okay, like dorm rooms and shit. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, that's just not for me, man. I can't do it. Dude, I freaked out in a business hotel. I stayed 1 year in Suitabashi, and it was a business hotel, and this thing was, I could stretch out my arms and touch the walls. I got to be honest with you, it wasn't very clean. Like there was like stains on the sheets. It looked like blood.
Stink of cigarettes.
No, yeah, it did smell. Yeah, it did stink. Even though apparently it was a non-smoking room, but yeah, it was not. I was like, I walked in. I remember vividly walking in, and the door weighed like 550 pounds. Shut the door behind me, and you're just like, oh, this is it. And the bathrooms were just incredibly small. And again, I'm not a dainty gentleman. I was like, oh fuck, I gotta do this for a week. Instantly, I'm on my phone looking at Grand Hyatt.
Like, yes,
any availabilities? Because I can't do this.
The little baths. I like the baths that have quite a small area, like surface area, but very, very deep.
Yeah. I know you do. You do need like a step stool to get into the goddamn thing. Yeah.
Yes.
You know. So I would say those areas are good. But again, if you're into video games, like I would think, what's the video game spot?
Akihabara.
Yes. Correct. That might be of interest. And that's on the main line. You know, one stop, and then boom, you're on the Yamote line. So. Yeah, I think that would be my recommendation. If you're a first timer, go in the central hub. Go to your Shibuya's. And you might love it. You know, you might be like, this is perfect. You know, I don't mind the busy hustle bustle of it. But if you've been there a few times and you've done that gig, look at those other outside areas that might be like, again, if you can afford it, like Tokyo Station area, Ginza area, that's pretty nice. You can't go wrong.
We're going to talk about some of the graps, some of the old wrestling, Shin Nihon Pro Wrest.
We can do that.
I put out some Patreon audio last week, so what I did. I did little reviews of both of the semifinals. So I've got the block finals, rather. I've got no desire to go and talk about those. Stephen says, do you think NJPW will host Best of the Super Juniors next year, or does DDT have it for another year? I had a good chuckle with that. That's a great little gag question.
Good job, Stefan.
Stefan.
Yeah, it was did have a little taste, a little flavor of that. You did a little, DDT in that. I think I'll never tell.
All right. Well, Andrew says, would you rather have a badly booked tournament with an exciting winner, or a well booked tournament with a boring or bad winner? How are we going to approach this, Damon? Do you want to discuss the finals in chronological order? Or do you want to start with Best of Super Juniors final, work backwards?
I think the final is what people care about. I can't imagine anybody really giving much of a fuck of, the undercard of the show. But I mean, let's go top to bottom. Nobody's gonna care.
Have you got anything you particularly want to share about the latter stages of the tournament, like block finals or? The setup that led to the final, or just want to go straight in for the final?
No, I mean, because I think that's important too, right? So, look, at least a guy that we thought needed to get a win and should get a win, and for all the reasons why it would be a positive to get a win, the right guy won, I thought. That being said, getting there, I think we beat that horse to death on the previous show, but just to see if we can give it a little jumper cable, bring it back to life, and then kick it again. It was just
Were you excited when it transpired that the final was going to be Fujita against Yo? What was your talk me through that process?
Yeah,
for you.
So again, did I want to see Yo in there? Not in the least. Did I was I happy with the idea of a guy that going into it, at least I thought, we were going to get a bunch of the same. And at the very least, we didn't. And to answer the original question, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's good. Like, I feel like we got a lot of what we wanted, but how we got it was probably less than desirable, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, do you feel that it was a hot match before the show, the final actually started? Like, the end of the B block finals, when Fujita came out and he and Yo had the stare down, were you thinking like, this is it?
It was weird. Again, it was, okay, I got half of what I think was right. But no, to sit there and tell you that I was like, oh, I can't wait to fucking turn on this TV. And, I watched it the next day. Don't get me wrong. But there wasn't anything where I was, looking at my watch and counting the seconds for it to occur. No, I can't say that's the case.
Because I tweeted out when it happened. I just put, yo, seriously? ? And Phil has tweeted, screenshotting that, saying, still think this was a good take. It was a good take, and it still is a good take. And I'm going to explain why it's a good take in quite lengthy and convoluted fashion in several minutes' time. But I don't think I was alone in thinking that particular final had not been particularly well set up.
No, I here's the thing that I really don't like. I don't like guys getting like squeaking in on, I don't want to say technicalities, but like, I don't know. Like, I think I prefer the two dominant guys in each respective block. I wouldn't say plowing through the block. You can make it competitive and make it somewhat interesting near the end, but like I just don't like how did we find a way to here again? I know I'm kind of struggling with the getting my brain and my mouth to work correctly, which is not strange at all. I'm not a big fan of the idea of we're all very close and tied, and like things that probably wouldn't happen at any other point in the year happen. Right, guys losing that probably would never lose to this guy on any other day to get points to it, you know, and guys losing just to kind of make the standings work. I don't know if I was excited, and even again, even though I got a guy that we wanted to make it to the finals and eventually win, I don't know. I don't know if. If it was the booking making everyone so even Steven made that less impactful, the finals. I don't know. I just felt like the finals were there. And I think the match was there. We could talk more about the match itself. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I honestly feel like this year fell flat for me. It really did.
All right. Well, Dave Meltzer says Yo versus Kosei Fujita in yesterday's Super Juniors final was one incredible match. Combo of wrestling itself, Christmas and Heat could be best of the year. Didn't have the storytelling or flashy moves of Page versus Ospreay, but the wrestling itself was better. I've not got the full tweet here. It did have its storytelling element. So Dave loved it. He thought it was brilliant. What did you think? So before I even say anything, talk to me, your review, please, of Kosei Fujita defeating Yo, 28 minutes and 5 seconds, thrill ride, while I let Scrumpy in the house.
Go ahead. I strongly disagree. here's a big problem that I have. Again, I think it's fair to say that everyone knows I'm not the biggest Yo guy in the world. That's for certain. I don't think anybody would think otherwise if they listen to this show. That being said, you're going into this match, and I did my best to not have any preconceived feelings about him specifically. And I tried to put them all aside, even if I did have them, right? I really did my damnedest. And I could feel myself kind of in the first 5 minutes, 8 minutes, kind of feeling like, oh, me just fucking having enough of this guy. And so this is, you know, literally I'm taking notes as this is happening, and I'm drifting into the reasons why Yo doesn't do it for me. Because I think it goes over and above the idea of like his persona doesn't connect with me. Like it annoys me. So
this is I'm so upset, David, because I'm going to say exactly the same stuff as you. And I was hoping you'd come over here saying like, oh, it was great, I loved it. So then we'd have a bit of a debate. But we are going to be in complete agreement here. But okay. Go off, King. The floor is yours.
All right. Here's the thing that really stuck out to me when it comes to Yo. I hate his offense. Nothing he does looks like it's either going to hurt, should hurt, could hurt, or any of it. Like, his offense looks weak as fuck.
Couldn't crack an egg with those strikes.
And then they're doing these, you know, strong, and I put in air quotes, style spots. And it, like, you're right, he couldn't crack a fucking egg. And I'm like, come on, dude, lay it in. And, you know, you got, you know, he definitely ate some chops, that's for sure. His chest all, you know, lit up. But aside from, like, his offense was just, come on, dude, do something. His selling is so over the top. It's just enough. Like, that one spot where he's trying to prove his his strength and his, you know, courage.
Was
his-
he though? Like my interpretation of that bit was that he actually likes being chopped because he's a horny weirdo. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the way it was presented. It didn't seem like I'm going to grit my teeth and show my fighting spirit and power through the pain, or like, oh, your weak young lion chops don't hurt me. He was selling it like he was getting some kind of sexual gratification from the chops, which I don't think is an appropriate thing to do in a major tournament final. Call me an old fuddy-duddy.
Right. Hit me harder. I haven't come yet. Right, exactly. you know what I mean? That's really what it was. Look, then, so now we're going to the closing stretch, right? And, you know, the fans are kind of getting into it a little bit, and I think I am too, and I think all of us were. And then, what's the name of Fujita's finisher?
Thrill Ride.
Thrill Ride. Okay. That looks sloppy as shit.
It looked botched.
Yep. That match. And I'm begging for Yo to kick out, and he didn't. And I was just like, oh boy, that's not the way we should be ending this, should we? Look, Yo is not for me, and it's not something that I see changing anytime soon. And the fact that we had a nice, tasty morsel of it, I think, for a lot of people, hammered home the shortcomings of Yo. That said, I didn't think the match stunk by any stretch. I just thought it was, like, I can't believe Dave would even put that in the ballpark of a match of the year talk. Like that kind of talk is match of the year talk, right? Like those words he's saying, he's strongly suggesting that people would put this in their notebook, so to speak.
Right. This is sitting currently on Cage Match at 9.10.
What am I missing? 9.10? That seems very high. What am I missing, Joel? Help me figure this one out.
Look, I thought the match was good. I was even say very good, like for a Yo match. I mean, it is getting this widespread critical acclaim, which has surprised me. You know, Big Day loves it, and the work was strong. Right, it was about what I expected, and I think the best I could have reasonably hoped for given the participants. And I said on my Patreon preview that I thought it would be a very good match. So just give the flowers there, rightly so. I thought the wrestling in this match, you know, all those little things we mentioned notwithstanding, it was good. But like you, it was a match that I found as frustrating as it was enjoyable. And I thought I was going to be on an island with this, but I think you're probably going to be with me for a lot of this stuff. So and listeners may disagree. So if you're listening to this and it comes across as the rantings of a map, and then so be it. It's not the first time, won't be the last. And yeah, like I said, I realize the consensus on this match is high. So just, yeah, hear me out. And you tell me if you think I've lost the plot. I don't think you will. Yep. I went into the match. The problem is, right, I went into this match carrying the weight of the poor booking of the tournament as a whole. And the lack of storytelling that led us to the final. Because neither wrestler individually nor the match as a whole felt particularly hot going into it. Like I said, the face-off after the main event last Thursday in Niigata felt ice cold. No reaction. And, you know, largely, possibly partly down to the venue, the crowd. I wasn't excited for the match, right? And you weren't either. So, like, there doesn't necessarily need to be any kind of grandiose epic storytelling when you are going into a big final, right? The prize of winning said tournament should be the story in and of itself, but it did feel cold going into it. And whilst I thought Fujita had a very strong tournament, Yo did not. He didn't seem to be attempting to tell any kind of overarching story with his own tournament journey, and his matches all felt heatless. Like he was just sort of goofing around most of the time. He didn't have that energy or the urgency that you would associate with a wrestler harboring serious intentions of winning a tournament, and him actually making the final, given his lackluster output, was surprising to me. Now, You mentioned the crowd, like you were saying, the crowd's getting into it. And I thought that was one of the strengths of the match. I think what helped this match a great deal was it taking place in front of the hardest of the hardcore Yo fans. Like, to my ear, seemed to be overwhelmingly female. And you know, that's a trend that other people who've been to these shows live on this tour have pointed out to me, that like the Tokyo attendances for the Best of Super Junior tour are like 60-40 women, which is great. You know, I think that really helped the match here, because there's clearly something he is doing or being that is resonating with this particular section of the fan base. And mm-hmm. you know, he's a quirky man. He makes bold stylistic choices. He eschews conventional pro wrestling wisdom, like for example making an injury comeback in front of an empty arena, right? That was a choice. And forgive me for being reductive here, he is I think a conventionally attractive man. You know, your mileage may vary on that, who has recently at least been behaving in an overtly sexual and flirtatious manner, in particular towards Kosei Fujita. So that seemed to be the build to this match, to this feud, right? These guys have exchanged junior tag titles. Yo has tried to kiss Fujita. That's what I could glean going into this. And all of the above, like, clearly resonated with this crowd, and their credit, they were red hot when this match kicked off. Like, great atmosphere. They were living and dying by everything that Yo did. So for Yo to get so much from his fans from the almost nothing that he put in during the tournament is genuinely impressive, right?
Yes.
And yes. Other people have said that he's just sort of dangling low effort Fujoshi bait to maximum results. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm not saying I disagree with that. But like, the investment of his fans absolutely enhanced the match here. I thought that got the match off to the best possible start. Like, there was a really good atmosphere in that Yogi crowd. So, but while I do need to acknowledge the absolute failure to get us there in a compelling way, it did have that big match vibe at the start, which was completely absent on Thursday when they set up the match. Like, did you feel the same in terms of the atmosphere?
Yeah. So I'm glad you pointed out the idea of the fans kind of being vocal for Yo, and you know, it did feel like it was a predominantly female chanting, cheering crowd for him. And there's nothing wrong with that. And he definitely leans into that. And why not? You know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah, that's smart.
Absolutely. 1,000%. Nothing wrong with that. So I'm not going to fault him for that. But yeah, I felt like during the entrances, I don't know if it was this magic in the air of a important final. I will say that as the match grew, and even the beginning spot where, you know, he's kind of in the corner and he's kind of has his back turned, or, you know, he's kind of side-eyeing Fujita and he's just staring, you know, just stern, square, you know, straight ahead. That felt pretty good. And I did, and again, I didn't mind the fact that there were two styles that were in play. You know, like, that didn't necessarily bother me. It was just the fact that his style bothers me, you know. But the fact that there were two different styles, no, that didn't bother me. And in fact, I think that was, you know, come to find out, that was not bad. You know, that was good. But I think there's a big difference. Again, I think there's a big difference between, and again, I'll just throw El Desperado out there. Like, the way that he carries himself in a match, and his offense, and even his selling. Like, I don't mind if you're goofy. Like, you can be, well, let me take that back. There's a certain line in the sand that I have with your goofiness. If you cross that line, okay, great. It's not going to be for me. But okay, it's not for me. It's not meant for me. It's when that carries over into a match, especially a finals of the Best of the Super Junior, where we're supposed to be, I don't know, I would hope that we would be a little bit more, less goofy, should I say? I think he was, I don't, it's just the way that he carries himself. And that's really probably it. It's the way that he carries himself that's just not for me when it comes to big time pro wrestling. That's all. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue, please.
So yeah, the match started and Yo started doing his one man chaos tribute, right? So he's doing moves from Yano, Okada, he's doing Rainmaker, he's doing Yoshihashi moves, he's doing Goto moves. So I want to sort of explore this a bit, because I don't have an issue with wrestlers doing other wrestlers' moves in and of itself. I don't think it carries any inherent value. But I think if it's done thoughtfully, it can be really impactful. It can elevate a match. So Yo did all these moves, and I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, that was great. No, he did moves from his Chaos teammates. But I found myself wondering, so he's doing all these moves, but to what end? Like, right. Why did he do it? What impact did it have? Did it contribute to the story of the match in a meaningful way? Because it didn't. Was it, you know, decisive in turning the tide for him? Was it, you know, effective? Did it help sort of make any meaningful changes to the way the match was going? It's been pointed out that it was a tribute to his Chaos teammates. I understand that, right? That much is obvious, but I don't think it was well earned or well executed for that matter. And I feel, you know, others may disagree, I feel that he's used the vocabulary of storytelling without actually doing the hard part of, you know, like actually telling the story. And I think there's a way he could have done that. You know, let's say he starts the tournament 0-3, then, you know, it's all going wrong for him. Then let's say he seeks out or is sought out, is given some coaching from his former Chaos teammates. Like maybe we get to see Yano give him a little pep talk in the backstage comments. Or no, we don't even need to see it. Like Yo could just talk about it and say, oh, you know, Yano came and talked to me, blah, 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 blah. Then in the next match, he's on the ropes. Then he pulls out a Yano move to turn the tide in his favor, goes on to pick up the win. You know, then in this next match, like, I don't know, he's facing someone with an injured neck. So he pulls out the butterfly lock to soften him up before going on to win. So there's a little Yoshihashi tribute. So did you see what I mean? Like if he'd actually made the effort to establish this as a story before the final, then it would have been a lot more impactful here, because it's one of these bugbears of mine. Like, look, someone else's moves. That's not a story. Right. And it felt kind of tacked on here. It rang hollow without those wrestlers even bothering to be in his corner. Like, you know, think how cool it would have been if Yano and Goto and Yoshihashi had been in Yo's corner to play off of the TMDK boys being in Fujita's corner. And I know Goto said the next day on Twitter, oh, Yo refused all seconds. He came to the ring alone. He carried the hopes and memories of Chaos. But if that's the explicit story you want to tell, then I think you have to establish that as a story beat before the match, not clarifying it afterwards on Twitter. And I can't, can you even recall any memorable or meaningful interactions between Yo and those aforementioned wrestlers, right? No. Like he did a cheeky little Rainmaker attempt. Did Okada and Yo even have any direct interaction outside of tagging in multi-man match? Did Okada even know that Yo was part of his faction?
Right.
I'm aware, I've seen all the like the visual stuff and Yo's outfit. I'm aware he was carrying a money clip, a little Okada tribute, and Cuban pesos, you know, Rocky Romero, former tag partner, blah, 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 in a Ziploc bag as part of his gear. With the symbolism being that he's keeping his memories of Chaos fresh. But the same applies to that. I think it's a lot of gesturing towards stories and relationships that I don't think have ever actually been explored or developed. And I really think we need to have a higher bar for what we consider storytelling than just doing other people's moves or right. just carrying a thing. And it can be done well, like... What was the recent example? Takeshita, right? Konosuke Takeshita, when he had the match with Tanahashi in the States, and he in the closing stretch of that he used Hirashima's signature move. Where you know there's that history of Tanahashi disrespecting Hirashima, disrespecting Takeshita and DDT as a whole, big leaking them. And Takeshita was talking about that at length in the interviews in the build before the match. Then in the climax of the match, he did the Somato, the running double knee strike of his former rival and DDT colleague to take out the New Japan star who had disrespected them both and disrespected their home promotion. That helped Takeshita to win the match, right? That is a way to integrate other people's wrestling moves in a way that contributes to storytelling rather than being a placeholder for it, right? Because to me, Yo just doing moves of Chaos wrestlers with no restraint or care or impact, it just feels like jangling keys, to me at least. Like if it landed for you, if you were able to fill in those gaps and enhance your enjoyment of the match, more power to you. But you know, that's the kind of esoteric approach to a narrative that might work for, you know, like a Dark Souls, a FromSoft game where you just, there's no story, you just read the item descriptions and piece together what you think might be going on. But it doesn't work on idiots like me for building a wrestling storyline in the moment. I don't think it had any impact on the match. I think it could have been done in a much better way, and having it explains after the fact seems to be missing the point, right? You want to build excitement and interest in the match that is going to happen in the future, not explain why it was actually meaningful after the fact.
Right. Right. And if you need to do that, you really didn't do your job very well in the match itself.
And in a way, actually, it's kind of an indictment on Yo that other people's moves were having more of an impact on the crowd than his own. But, you know, There's an attempt at least. So I'll give him that, even if he did it in his own inscrutable, idiosyncratic way that maybe I'm too thick to work out. And maybe I'm just letting perfect be the enemy of good here and you know, critiquing the match against my own fantasy booking, which is pointless. But, you know, here we are. Welcome to the Super J cast.
Don't worry. Okay, let me ask you this. If he pulled out those moves later in the match, like to me, those are desperation moves in the sense of I've tried everything in my fucking power to put this guy away and I haven't been able to do it. I need to go into my bag of tricks. And what's a bag of trick? I remember Okada doing this. There's a big difference between doing these moves in the beginning of a match, which made kind of no sense. Okay. All right, here's a perfect example. You know, when Will, why not? Let's go there. When Will Ospreay hits the one-winged angel and then hits the Styles Clash, he's doing it at the end of the match in desperation, right? And that's a big difference between pulling out those type of things, you know, as a desperation as opposed to, well, I'm going to try to put this guy away in 3 minutes, so I'm going to use these things, right? Can I ask, has there been a history of him using these moves at all at any time?
No, not at all. And I'm reading some cage match reviews here. It's the wrong guy won a modern legend. Yo showed the pillars of his past with Okada's Rainmaker, Ishii's chops in the corner, Yoshihashi's
3 minutes in the ring.
Yano's pose, Goto's Ushigoroshi. He paid it forward to where he came from. And then it's like, no, he was just like, he was doing, do you remember this guy's move? Do you remember this guy's move? Like, this is not, I don't know. I feel like I'm just, we're the lone two grumps. So that's not storytelling to me, just doing other people's moves.
Right. Right. It's I hate to be the, it's not what you do, it's when you do it. Right. I'm glad that we're not on an island, because I was a little bit worried that we would be
it's just the two of us though, me and you on the island.
Well, good. We'll suck each other off and it'll be great. You know? No, what difference has it ever been? But yeah, we're on the same page. We are on the same page. And seriously, if there are people that listen to this show that feel the opposite, I want to say good. You know what I mean? Like, I really do. But I also beg of you to just share what we're missing. Like I don't think we're just being grumpy old men. I really don't. And I don't think this is an issue of Jim Cornette. This isn't real wrestling. That's not it at all. That's not what we're doing here. I thought the match was good. I don't think the match was great. And I think Dave is off his rocker with that kind of talk for this specific match. Like if this is it, then the bar is really low. The bar is very low. I don't even think this is one of the best of the Super Junior finals, period.
I don't think if it was the best match on the tour. I thought Hiromu versus Akira cleared this.
I thought so too.
I thought Fujita versus Kushida was better than this.
I would say they're neck and neck. I would say pretty neck and neck.
Let's play devil's advocate, because I've seen some criticisms that Yo made the match all about himself rather than it being a crowning of Fujita. Because we spent all this time talking about Yo, barely anything on Fujita. But, you know, I'm not going to blame Yo for that. I think it's good to try and get yourself over. I just wish he'd been doing that sooner.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Again, there is a part of me, though, Joel, that is like, and it feels like this part is screaming at me and I'm just trying to like stick my fingers in my ears and la, la, la it away. Maybe this match wasn't meant for us.
No, it definitely wasn't. And, you know, I'm making my peace with that as we're discussing it.
Right. You know, maybe, you know, look, if this type of pro wrestler attracts an audience that is not me, that's okay. That there's nothing wrong with that.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
But it's curious that it's attracting all this casual mainstream acclaim, like from people that, you know, the New Japan tourists who just sort of pop in for the big events have watched this, and it seems to have landed them. Like I said, 9.10. This is not just like, oh, his hardcore female fans in Tokyo are digging this, and everyone else thinks it's shit, because that's not accurate. Most people seem to really enjoy this match.
Yeah. I mean, what's been the general consensus in Discord? Let's use that as a barometer.
There's about like two other people who would agree with me, but everyone else really liked it. Voices of Wrestling Slack, which is usually very down on New Japan, general consensus very, very high on this match.
Okay. I mean, hey, maybe we're wrong. Right, but we seem to have very similar views and takes on why this wasn't up there.
And I tried really hard, like, for us not to discuss it before we started recording, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on the match before I'd even said anything about it, because I didn't want us to, you know,
spoil each other, right,
subconsciously or otherwise, kind of influence what the other person is thinking. Because it's just interesting we've both independently reached the same conclusion. But you know, aside from those guys, like, I do think the actual work in the match, I think, was very good. Like, I think he is a good wrestler, but when he gets a tap on the shoulder, he can turn it on. And to be fair, you know, that applies to a lot of the New Japan roster, because, you know, there's a baseline for being able to perform at a main event level. I think Yo cleared that. I don't think that was in dispute. I thought he performed very well in that regard. Like, you know, the last 5 minutes where he showed the kind of fire and intensity that I wish he would show more often. And that's another thing that really annoyed me about this match, because if he put in even half of this level of effort in his block performances, then we'd be having a different conversation now. And I realize this can probably be applied to most wrestlers in the tournament. You know, I don't expect him to be going balls to the wall in a brightly lit prefectural gymnasium in front of a few hundred fans who are sitting on their hands. But I do find Yo so very frustrating, because I know he can be good. I just think he has terrible instinct or instincts that are not tailored to my own personal taste. You know, I would have preferred a more traditional story with Yo realizing that, you know, the division's passing him by. He's 36 years old. There's this new crop of talented, hungry wrestlers that are going to leave him in the dirt. His two biggest opportunities have ended in failure, be it due to injury or interference by show. I feel like he should have been fueled by that injustice and the need to prove that he still belongs at the top of the division, fighting tooth and nail to stop this young punk Fujita from consigning him to become, you know, like the pre-title win Goto of the junior heavyweight division. You know, knowing maybe this is going to be his last shot at glory while he's in something close to his prime, like, you know, now or never. And I don't think that's the story that was conveyed, but, you know, that's just me. And what Yo did, what he did do, has seemed to have worked for the majority of fans in this match. So I know I'm just shouting into the void.
No, but I think you're right. But here's the thing, too. And again, in discussing this with you, you know, maybe the same New Japan Pro Wrestling formula that we're all accustomed to and we're all comfortable with, and it's like a warm blanket, so to speak, maybe this is like the slap in the face that we needed, me and you and others of the same mindset, of this isn't 2019. This isn't 2020. Early, should I say? Like 1 month of 2020. You know what I mean? Like this is a guy who's kind of doing his thing, and I don't want to say doing his own thing, but he is different from just about anybody else on that roster. He does feel more. And I don't necessarily mean this as a negative, but it's more of, it's just not my flavor of iced tea. He's very DDT. He's what is it? DDT pilled? Is that what I'm trying to say? It's, you know, he's, and that's not necessarily for me. But maybe he's saying, okay, we've had years of this mold and this model, and I'm going to do something different. And I don't care if a balding white guy in fucking the United States gives a shit. It's not for you, dude. Maybe that's it. And you know what? If he is able to latch on and connect with fans on a level that I don't quite get, then is that a bad thing? It's a not for me thing. That's for fucking sure. But is that a bad thing? And maybe this is just his way of saying, you know, things are fucking different, and I'm going to lead that charge to be a little bit different.
Yeah. Maybe we should respect that he's not just going to do what people like us want all the time. And he's sticking to his own, you know, his integrity and his vision of how he wants to express himself as a creative performer. So yeah, I think that you're right. There is value in that. I still think it was a very good match that I have some issues with, and you know, we're lower the consensus. We're on Brainworms Island, but I don't want to come across like I hated the match, because I didn't. I do think it was very good. And the fact that more casual fans have really enjoyed this is great. Like, that genuinely makes me happy, but it's just my broken brain. I cannot divorce what was a very strong one-off match from a really poorly booked tournament as a whole that didn't set the table appropriately from the final. And, you know, in fact, I go as far to say not following the tournament probably enhanced people's enjoyment of that final. Yep. Whereas I found that me watching every single show that led to this actively detracted from it. Like, I feel I've been punished for being a Shin Nihon freak.
Yeah. I mean, there's been times where I've felt that. Yeah. Like, I'm okay. Like, and I'm, once again, I'm in agreement with you in the sense of the match was good. It was really good. I don't think it was great. Yeah. I don't think I would put it near the top of any Best of the Super Juniors. And to be truthful, the booking did not help throughout the entire tournament. And it did kind of ding me up a little bit going into a match that I wasn't excited about for a lot of the elements. And then the match kind of being not for me. And that's really it. You know, it's much as I want to sit here and say, like, I'm trying to be progressive and I'm trying to think outside the normal Damon box. And okay, but let's be very true here. And I don't care how old you are. I don't think this matters. You like what you like, right? And, you know, I try my best to try to follow and listen to new music, right? And new bands and new stuff like that, right? But let's be fucking brutally honest. Any new band that I listen to and like sound like 1990s Sway, Blur, Oasis. You know what I mean? Like, they sound like it, you know? Oh, they sound like Depeche Mode. I love them. Oh, they sound like The Cure. They're great. You know, so I like what I like. And it looks like, you know, what maybe what this is a realization too, Joel, that, you know, there's going to be shit that's not for us. And where I would say the majority of the stuff in put in positions top of the card, I would say by and large for many years, we got what we liked. And maybe those times are changing.
Yeah. Well, no, the match was great. It was very good. The right person won. I think we should applaud that. So whilst Yo is not for us, that's okay. He did perform well in this match in relative to expectations, but I do think it is fair for us to criticize the lack of cohesion in his narrative presentation throughout the tournament and his inconsistent performances. You know, we all know, you know, we might have preferred someone like, I don't know, Akira in that spot, you know, more of a long-term vision of the future domestic junior ace against the future foreign junior ace. And I don't know if Yo having this spot is going to have any meaningful long-term impact, seeing as he's going straight into a junior tag title feud with House of Torture. I hope he builds on this and continues to add value to his future programs, and maybe he'll win me over. Who knows?
Did he make you more of a fan, less of a fan, or are you still the same?
I'm intrigued to see his follow-up match. Like, I want to watch this junior tag match with him and Watto against House of Torture and see, you know, what the crowd reception is to him and what his output is like.
Okay, that's fair.
Curious. That's fair. I'm curious. We should probably talk about Kosei Fujita at some point.
Yeah, you probably should. But to me,
this is probably feels like an afterthought, doesn't it? And I really like what he did in the match. I think he carried himself with the requisite fire and urgency befitting the spot. I thought he wrestled with dynamism and impact. I really like having TMDK coaching him from the sidelines. You know, he's sprinkling in some Zach moves. That's another example, a long-term established feature of Fujita's journey, where other people's moves can work in the context of a wider story. And he pulled it out at a decisive moment. It was a Zach driver, didn't he, that he did. And I thought that was done really well in a way that punctuated the good work that was done throughout the match. Excellent performance from a guy, again, only 22 years old. He's only going to improve. That's a hell of an achievement.
I think everyone can agree that he's got goals waiting for him in the relatively near future. I don't think anybody would be shocked with that statement. But I do want to kind of point out the fact that he is in what feels like a cohesive, sound, everything kind of makes sense world. And I think, like, he is the polar opposite of what we just described. He, like, just those subtle things of, yep, we're going to use a move by the guy who leads this faction and who I've been tethered to the hip. I do love the fact that I said this before. I love when they all kind of just kneel at ringside, especially other juniors when it's the final. I love that element that New Japan does. 22 years old. I thought he was a little bit older than that, but even that's pretty amazing. Just the upside that the guy has is almost scary. Like, the biggest bright spot to me is the fact that he is so young and there's such an upside, and barring anything serious when it comes to injury, like I can't imagine him not being. Here's what I would love to say, and hear me out on this. I would like to see him, and he's 22, so there is absolutely the option for this. I would like to see him put on just a little bit more weight, a little bit more muscle, and that's definitely a possibility, just to make what he does that much more impactful, that much more power. I'm not saying he has to be Clark Connors. I'm not saying he has to be, you know, Drilla Maloney, but just get a little bit thicker, a little bit, not a lot. He could still be a junior. That doesn't bother me at all. I mean, but I just like just a little bit more. There were times that I felt like he seemed just a smidge. I don't want people to take this the wrong way. A smidge lost in the ring, and that might have been just the spotlight. That might have been just the big match. You know, maybe it could have been a little butterfly-ness, whatever. But I don't know if there's if 100% he ever really lost the nerves or the butterflies in his stomach until maybe we got 10, probably even deeper in the match. I thought the closing stretch was solid. The finish aside was that was tough to swallow. But again, it is what it is. That's my only two things. Like, I just feel like he's a guy that has so much upside. And I don't want to say he's been given, but he's really earned a lot of the spots that he has. It's been a slow burn for him. Future is just so fucking bright for the dude. I can't believe it.
Derek says, is it strange I was enjoying the final up until the main event when I knew Fujita was going to win and could expect a half hour long match to get to the streamers so he could challenge a guy who was going to go cut himself up and get what looks like back knee. Was this good? Now, I think this is there's another rant incoming here, right? Because the fallout of this match and the direction for the junior division and the junior title specifically, I think is very instructive about this, what I've been talking about, the lack of care in the booking. Because on this show, we had Jun Kasai appear after Desperado's tag match, invited him to the Deathbane Invitational on June 24th. Yeah. So basically, Fujita is going to have to wait for his title match until Despy and Jun Kasai have concluded their business. They're having a match. The junior title will be on the line for that. It's not a New Japan show. But Fujita and Despy, they're not even on the Dominion card. Wow. We don't know when they're going to have their match. So Desperado's requested his title defense at the Deathpain Invitational on June 24th at Korakuen. So he says, after Fujita wrestled that incredible final with Yo, he said he didn't want to face me while I was focused on Kasai, Desperado explained. Saying that, I know I can beat Kasai and I plan to, but there are no absolutes. Desperado admitted it might be Kasai that faces Fujita. Kasai might be known as a deathmatch charisma, but that doesn't mean he can't wrestle. So Desperado promised Fujita he would get his title shot one way or another, but that for now he was focused on Kasai and I want the title on the line, right? So the junior title is going to be on the line when Despy wrestles Jun Kasai. And then Fujita said, I'm not interested in wrestling Desperado when he's not entirely focused on me. He said he's willing to sacrifice a title match at Osaka Joe Hall as well as another challenge while he would be the youngest ever champion should he emerge victorious, right? So all in the build-up to this, he's been talking about how he can win Best of the Super Juniors and then challenge for the junior title and that he would break the record and would become the youngest ever junior heavyweight champion.
Not now. So he said, sounds like in 5 years he's getting a shot.
Yeah, so he said, I want a title match at Dominion. I want to be the youngest champion, but it's more important to me to beat Desperado the right way.
Right.
Excuse me? What? Yeah. This doesn't make any sense to me. So what's being communicated here is that the Best of the Super Juniors and Kosei Fujita are less important than Desperado versus Jun Kasai, which is not even happening in a New Japan pro wrestling match. Like, their feud is taking priority over the flagship junior heavyweight event of the year.
Right.
That's bullshit, right? And it's cool that Despy can do his indie thing. There needs to be more caretakers so that New Japan comes first. Because I love Despy, but this is behavior that is unworthy of the junior heavyweight champion, right? He's got responsibilities as a champion. I really think this is doing a tremendous disservice to, firstly, to Kosei Fujita. It's doing a disservice to Best of the Super Juniors and the junior division as a whole, because the whole thing, all that I've sat through and watched with this Best of the Super Juniors, it's just been presented as less than. It's inferior to Despy and Kasai. That's got to take precedence. And it's killed that potential story of Fujita's chase to be the youngest junior champion, where he had been talking about how much that meant to him, and suddenly he doesn't care about that anymore. So he looks like a complete idiot doing a 180 on that. We've had Jun Kasai getting in the ring in this very show to say he doesn't care about the junior title, but everything's got to be put on hold so that can be in the mix for the death match they're having. So Fujita having to spin this into making some kind of sense rather than calling it out for the absolute nonsense that it is. And, you know, he should be saying, fuck that noise. You're the junior champion. You put your extracurriculars on hold. You are defending that against me at Dominion because I want that record. Honestly, from start to finish, Kosei Fujita has felt like an afterthought. He should have been the main character in Best of the Super Juniors. And he did get some big wins early on, but then nothing. And he's losing to chumps. He's losing to guys he really shouldn't be losing to. Yeah, sneaking into the final because Hiromu getting upset in the main event from Robbie X. So all the focus in the final being on Yo and his jangling keys. Now he's hand-waving his title shot and a significant record, a really historic potential achievement, just so Despy can fuck around doing deathmatch tourism. This is the youngest ever Best of the Super Juniors winning. He's not even on the Dominion card. Like, this is madness. Yeah. And they don't even need to have the title match there, but put him and Despy in a tag match at the very least. Like, Kosei Fujita, he's the Best of the Super Juniors winner. And he feels less hot coming out of this tournament win than he did going in. it's not enough, Damon. It's not enough to just win the tournament if it's not set up or follow through on effectively. And like I said, it's indicative of that lack of care taken with the junior division, something that most of us feel is one of New Japan's biggest assets, something they do not have the luxury of treating it in this way. And as I always say, Damon, if they don't care, Why should I?
Right. And here's the thing too. How long have I been? All right. Is it a bit archaic to have juniors and heavyweights separate? Are we past that point? And again, I always have to sandwich that with, well, I love the juniors and it's my favorite title of all time and blah, 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 blah. But once again, if they don't care, why am I caring? The only way that I would be somewhat comfortable with the what you just laid out is if there's some type of run-in during the death match. You know what I mean? Like, and that's never going to happen. That's just not going to happen. I watch it happen, but it's just I just can't see that happening. And quite honestly, everything that you laid out makes zero sense on the surface in the sense of why would they do that? The only glimmer of hope, and I don't have much hope, but let's just put all of our cards on the table. How are they going to keep him hot? How are they going to keep people interested in him? Are they just going to like let it cool and let it cool and let it cool for weeks and then sometime in fucking October, we're going, because keep in mind, we do have G1 right around the corner, where juniors, fall off the face of the earth. Like, is this going to be like, Joe, first of all, when is the death match? When is this Jun Kasai fucking slice and dice?
June 24th.
Okay. When is, I'm going to say something that you're going to fucking throw up in your mouth. But when is Forbidden Door?
Let's have a look.
Because they wouldn't do that, would they?
Do what?
Have a match there.
No. Forbidden Door is after the G1 this year.
The one in London at the O2? That's not Forbidden Door. Is that Forbidden Door?
Yeah. Oh God, I have to look this up. It's not on the news.
I guess my point is this: is that when between now and I don't know, fucking the end of G1. When are they going to? When would they have this match?
It's the 24th of August, so that's, okay. That's ages away. I suspect that Fujita will get his match on the New Japan Seoul shows. So there's two shows announced for that. I think as July 4th and July 6th. We've got Tokyo Budokan and Korakuen Hall. So I would imagine that would headline the Tokyo Budokan show.
Yeah. Yeah, I would or at least semi, I can't imagine it being anywhere else. Okay. All right, that's not that bad. I mean, it's, a month away. I mean, it's
but him just sort of foregoing the record and being like, actually, I don't care about being the youngest champion of all time. Like, that's horseshit.
I know, but... Look, that one, I was going to say that's a problem with guys kind of dictating their own schedule and doing shit,
We can't even blame this one on Tony Khan.
I know. Who are we going to blame ourselves? We got to blame ourselves. But, I mean, look, I'm willing to wash my hands in the past 2 or 3 weeks, to be honest with you. I really am.
The Men in Black memory wipe. <He's
gone. laughs> Right. I'm willing to do that. Not a lot's making sense to me, but okay. It wouldn't be the first time. It won't be the last, but yeah. I would say overall, probably one of my least favorite Best of the Super Junior tournaments as a whole, a solid, good final that seems to be leading on a slow burn chase where Despy pins Fujita. And that's that. And then we go on. And then we move on.
Arametha says, what do you keep your memories of chaos in? And the Bebler says, if you could preserve any memories of New Japan in a Ziploc bag, what would they be?
That's a very good question, actually. It's kind of pseudo New Japan, but I remember the first time I watched Super J Cup, the original. From Sumo Hall. That was probably one of the most... I couldn't wait for that fucking tape to arrive in the mail. And I probably watched it. I probably burned a hole in the fucking VHS tape. that was super special. I will also say, I would put in a fucking plastic bag the range of emotions from you in the Tokyo Dome when Naito wins, right? And then Kenta destroys the party and people fucking losing their shit at him going down the aisle, or going up the aisle back to the locker room in the Tokyo Dome. And that I'll never just forget. I just love that one spotlight when they follow the guys back to, and the one spotlight and one guy, Japanese guy, just fucking laying his, he was giving him the business, just like yelling at Kenta. I would put that 10-minute stretch in a fucking bag. I'll take that to my grave as one of the greatest pro wrestling moments. Just that was great. That was really wonderful.
I would put my whole day, the day of Dominion 2018, that Okada Omega best 2 out of 3 falls match, just from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed, that's like as close to a perfect day as I think I'm likely to get, with all respect to the other stuff, you know, like my wedding day, birth of my children, all that. There's nothing like that. That was just an incredible day. So just from waking up and being like, it's just Dominion today. You know, when you wake up and you realize it's today. The thing is happening today, and just that buzz, like even what's memorable is the walk, when I walked from the station to Osakujo Hall and just like absolutely buzzing, you know, where they actually walk into the event can be, it's because it's that space filled with infinite possibilities and your mind is racing about all the different things that could be happening. And just an incredible day. Getting absolutely hammered on the Lychee Strong Zero Tall Boy cans.
Oh boy. I tell you what. Sean,
the first person to come up to me saying like, oh, are you Joel from the Super J Cars? I was like, yes, and I'm very drunk.
I do remember you telling that story.
Shook Suzuki's hand, bought a towel.
Yeah. That's a good day. I'll tell you what, being that we're doing that, probably if I could, one day was the day that for Dash that we did, we came to Japan. Eric had done that with his classic group and raised like thousands of dollars. And you know, Kevin Kelly takes us back to in Cork, and you know how many fucking dumb Americans could say that they did that, and giving them the money and give Suzuki the money to give to Takayama, and Suzuki is like, wait here, and he goes into the locker room and gets his camera and wants to take the picture. You know what I mean? Like, I thought, like,
that's holy so cool.
Yeah, there are not many fucking, that's up there. You know what I mean? That was really up there. And, you know, you had to take, like, these stairs and this little elevator, and we're just, like, looking at each other, like, holy fuck. Like, what? Holy shit, what's happening? Here you go. And, you know, you're there, and then all of a sudden he comes out, and Fumi, our friend Fumi, you know, had to explain to Suzuki what was happening, and he was just like, "Oh my god, what the fuck!" And yeah, that was a pretty good day. That was a good day. So if I could bag that up, that would be wonderful too. All right, where else do you want to go?
I don't really think there's anything.
Yeah, we beat this one.
Discussing from the actual show itself, all the other matches. I mean, they're all just setting up stuff for Dominion. I mean, like I'll read through the Dominion card. We'll do. Sort of proper preview of that nearer the time. So Dominion will be Sunday, June 15th. So we've got about 2 weeks until that. Kickoff match, Katsuya Murashima and Shoma Kato against Daiki Nagai and Masatoru Yasuda. First match, special 8-man tag match, Taiji Ishimori, Chase Owens, Clark Connors, Driller Maloney against Chase Owens, he's back, against Sanada, Ren Narita, Yujiro Takahashi and X. So House of Torture have an X. They've got a new member. Any thoughts on who you think that could be?
Taguchi.
Some people are saying maybe Jake Lee. Taguchi. Of course it's Taguchi. X is always Taguchi.
Always Taguchi.
Jeff Cobb. Or JC Mateo.
Is that his WWE name now?
Yes, it is.
What is it? Say it again.
JC Mateo.
Ugh.
It's so stupid. They called him Jeff Cobb when he made his debut, when he did the run-in. But that, no, we got to change it to JC Mateo.
Oh, Hunter. Who would, I mean, I'll say it's Corey Perry, or whatever the fuck his name is. Steve Perry. Who was it? What's his name?
Oh, Jack Perry.
Jack Perry. It's Jack Perry.
Corey Perry.
Corey Perry, the Edmonton Oilers winger. Corey Perry. Yes. Shout out to our Edmonton Oilers fans. Yeah, it'll be Jack Perry.
Second match, special tag match, El Fantasma and Shota Umino against Yohei Oiwa and Zack Sabre Jr. Maybe setting up something for the TV title there, I don't know. Third match is Hiroshi Tanahashi Final Road Connection, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Yuya Uemura. Fourth match, IWGP Junior Tag Championship match, Master Wato and Yo, back in his lane, defending against Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Sho. Fifth match, IWGP Tag Championship match, Taichi and Tomohiro Ishii versus Callum Newman and Great O'Khan. That was an interest. There's a lot been sort of talk about from Taichi about sort of getting G1 spots. I wonder if, you know, the winners of this, by virtue of being tag champions, might have a claim to be in the G1. I don't know. Sixth match, we've got Never Openweight Championship, Oleg Bolton against Konosuke Takeshita. Seventh match, No Time Limit Dog Collar Chain Death Match, David Finlay versus King of Darkness Evil. So that's our third House of Torture match on this card. Eighth match, IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match, Yota Tsuji against AEW star Gabe Kidd. And ninth match, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Hiroki Goto versus Shingo Takagi. So a few sort of snarky comments, but that's a pretty strong card, isn't it?
I think so. That's not bad. I mean, I like that Never. That should be interesting. That Never championship match should be fun. Yeah, it's not bad. That's a good show. That's a good show on paper. I'll take that. Hey, what do you think about the rumors with a capital R of Hiroshi Tanahashi making the last G1 run?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm just thinking about who is out of the G1 from last year's field. Mm-hmm. Which would require me having to remember who was in it. So I'm going to look that up. And because, there's just sort of simple math involved here. Right. So if we look at the participants. So no Naito. So Naito's out.
Even though he's still all over New Japan World in their login screen, all over the place.
Jake Lee potentially out.
Okay.
Jeff Cobb out, Henare out, Takeshita possibly out. So there's potential for like five new spots there.
Okay.
And you, yeah, I don't know, because you would think Oiwa is probably in there, but does he? Are they going to do something like he wins the TV championship so he can sort of get into the tournament without having to go through the qualifiers? Because I think they're doing the qualifiers again at the New Japan Seoul Tour.
Okay.
And last year it was two qualifying spots that went through. So I imagine Oi was in. Driller Maloney, he's probably in, right?
I would lean that way. Yeah. I would think, you think Taichi gets some redemption is in?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I mean, I know what I think, how I value Taichi and how the company values Taichi are very different, but I'm going to be optimistic and say yes.
Okay, so there's three.
Does Yoshihashi get back in?
Can I ask what he's
done? Does Ishii get back in?
I think Ishii's more of a likelihood than Yoshihashi. And I'm not saying that's a shit on Yoshihashi, but like, give me a reason for Yoshihashi to be in kayfabe sense.
No, he's not justified it, has he? So I think like Oiwa could get in. Let's say he pins El Fantasma, wins the TV title during the Seoul Tour, and then, oh, well, I'm a single champion, I get to be in the G1. Mm-hmm. Taichi and Ishii can be back in because if they win the tag championships, they're tag champions, maybe that can they can go in. So that can kind of excuse them from having to go in the tournament.
Would you rather have Taichi or would you rather have Acker?
Akira, I'm saying Akira is in clarifying.
Well, if he's
Francesco Akira,
yeah.
Junior heavyweight. What do you mean?
Who are the tag champions right now?
Callum Newman and Great O'Connor.
I'm, why did I? Did I say? Oh,
he said Acura. Like, well, he's tiny. He's not getting to the G1.
You know what? Cancel me. Just cancel me. Callum Newman. My bad.
Callum Newman. Well, I think even if he loses,
the titles, let's be honest, here, is there a difference? Is there a difference between? No, there's.
I'm kidding. Okay. So maybe like you have your two qualifying tournaments. Driller wins one of them, and Tanahashi wins the other. I've got a very convoluted way of answering your question. Do I think Tanahashi's going to be in the G1? I think they might do it.
I think they almost have to. He's got to have one last one, right?
Yeah, if he doesn't, and then it turns out that his last G1 was just a couple of years ago with no fanfare, then that's a bit daft, isn't it?
A little bit, right?
That's leaving money on the table. You want to milk that.
Right. And then he can hit all those towns that, you know, he might not have, you know, be a reason for him to do a singles match in all of those towns. I say let him do it. And I hate saying let him do it, but let him do it. Why not? If his body can do it. I mean, look, do I want him to go a 30-minute fucking epic whatever? No. Do I expect
that? No, he should go 0-8, like lose all his matches and then be evil on the final night.
Perfect. I would have. I promise you I would have zero issue with that. Look, I think he'll probably lose more than he'll win. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. But put him in. He's in.
Yeah. That's Dominion.
Is that about it? Is that about it? Yeah. All right.
Do you want to do a music question before we wrap up?
I do.
Nebraska Man says, question for Music Damon. I've been listening to the show for years now. In all that time, I don't think I've ever seen him say he likes an American band aside from Van Halen. So does he like any Yankee rock?
Well, yeah, I've said, I have, but thank you for listening for years. Look at you. I'll buy First Round. Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm literally just off the top of my head, American bands that I like. Boom. REM. How about there's a band called Drab Majesty that I like a lot. I mean, is that good? I mean, again, and we can't even count like my kind of small I don't want to say obsession, but like I do like my 80s hair metal bands like Rat and Poison and all those jokers. Let's put it this way. Do I tend to lean toward androgynous British bands? Sure, of course. And then there's no secret there. But I I'm not a fucking, you know, sit there waving flags for either one. If it's good, it's good. But I seem to probably lean more. Like, if I were to say my top 10 favorite bands, probably a lot of them are British, but, or, you know, some variation thereof, Scottish or what have you. But yeah, I don't have a problem with, America. But here's the thing though. I will say that growing up, I did kind of consciously make a line in the sand because everybody was into grunge and, you know, Alice in Chains and, Stone Temple Pilots and blah, blah, blah. And like, that really didn't do much for me. So, I mean, if there is a, like, if people kind of get that perception, then I can see that because I kind of did lean go the other way when all that was hitting big in the States. So there you go. But thank you for the listening.
All right. I'm off to have a big wank. See you next week.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? And are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.